On the phone with us right now, we have the pastor of Holy Family Parish, Father Joseph Johnson, who's going to talk a little bit about this whole charism business and if it is actually of the teaching of the church. Good morning, Father. Good to have you with us.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
Thank you. And so, yeah, what about this, Father? I mean, we're here talking about these charisms, and it sounds like, you know, it's maybe just one of those things that they're trying to get the laity more involved in the church and doing more things in the parish. But is this really something that we find in the scriptures, in the tradition of the church, in the teaching of the magisterium?
Absolutely. And actually, it's the opposite of what that, you know, initial impression is. It's not about, okay, how can we get the laity more involved? You see, I've actually banned the word volunteer from my parish.
Excellent.
We actually have a little can in the front office, and if any staff member uses the V word, then in goes a quarter. Because the Red Cross has volunteers. Jesus doesn't.
Right.
Jesus never said, go therefore and make volunteers of all nations.
Mm.
You know, what we have is disciples. Jesus has disciples. And the charisms of the Holy Spirit are the way that we live out our discipleship in the mission of the church. Because the mission of the church is not the mission of the clergy. It's not the mission of a small paid staff in the office. It's the mission of every baptized believer. And that's what we find in the scriptures, where St. Paul speaks so beautifully about the church as the mystical body of Christ, and it has many parts. It's something that the great modern saint and doctor of the church, St. Therese of Lisieux, the little flower, would speak about how, you know, she would find what is her part in the life of the church. We're all supposed to find what our part in the mission of the church is. And the charisms are gifts that come from the Holy Spirit, which are not primarily for my holiness, but rather for the building up of the mystical body of Christ, for the extending of the kingdom of God in our world, for service to others.
Very good. And so, but is this something that as a clergy person, I mean, maybe another, I would hope, false impression that people would have is that perhaps, you know, this is threatening to pastors. It's threatening to the clergy, again, in that way. Is this, you're a pastor, so why would you think it's important? Why would you like to have your parishioners discern their charisms?
Well, I'm delighted, not threatened, because what we find is, you know, the way that church life goes today, usually father has to strong-arm somebody to do something,
mm-hmm.
or guilt people into it. Instead, if everyone in the pews is going, all right, let me discern, how is the Holy Spirit calling me to service in the church? Boy, it makes your pastor's life a lot easier.
Mm-hmm. That's,
you know,
right.
And then it's just a matter of directing traffic, okay? Helping people to say, okay, this is your particular charism. Let's fit you with this particular role here in our parish, and there you go. Rather than the pastor looking out the pews, okay, who can I nab before they duck out the side door and ambush them and make them feel guilty if they don't agree to chair the fall festival for next year? You know, this is the way that parish life goes right now, and it's not the way it's supposed to. And of course, it's good for the laity too, because there are some generous souls that, you know, you walk into a meeting and you don't know which meeting it is because you see the same faces. They're at all the meetings, the people that just give of themselves so completely, but you risk burnout that way, you know. And instead, every single member, every single baptized Christian has a role to play in the life of the church. And that's what I call mature discipleship. You know, it's not about getting the work done, all right? If God just wanted the work done, he would have sent the angels. They would have done it quicker and better.
Amen to that.
Right.
Yeah.
Instead, he uses imperfect instruments like us. But every one of us has a part to play. And so to discover that is to discover our dignity in the mystical body. And also the beauty of how each one of us is meant to be a blessing to those around us. You know, I worry with the year of mercy that sometimes, you know, people think, okay, great, Jubilee, year of mercy, right? Mercy, give me mercy, God, give me mercy, God, give me mercy. Whoa, 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 whoa. Listen to the Holy Father. Pope Francis is talking about the corporal and spiritual works of mercy as much as about us receiving mercy for our sins. So we always have to avoid this, you know, where it's just about, okay, what God can do for me and how I can get God's grace and I can become a saint. No, no, no. It's also about, through the Holy Spirit, how God not only makes me a saint, but God pushes me out into service of those around me.
So essentially what you're saying, Father, is that God really never works in us without seeking also to work through us. Is that, would that be a good summation?
I think that would be fair, yes. Because of this notion of the mystical body of Christ, that we're all connected,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so something that benefits the toe is also going to benefit the hand, right? Because the right. whole body is better. Just like when you stub your toe, it's the whole body that hurts, right?
Yes. Yes, it is.
You know, so to discover that the Holy Spirit, you know, I'm just so grateful we have an opportunity to speak about the Holy Spirit, because we know what a Father is, we know what a Son is. Holy Spirit, you're just kind of like, just vague, mm-hmm. fuzzy notions, and just kind of leave aside. But for us to be Christian, we have to delve deeper into our relationship with the Holy Spirit, how we are temples of the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit comes to transform us in baptism, how the Holy Spirit strengthens us in confirmation, how every single decision I make, from my vocation to what time I'm going to get up in the morning, to how I'm going to respond to this person that I'm speaking with right now, every single moment like that, big and little, we should be seeking the Holy Spirit to direct us. You know?
Yeah. I think I understand entirely what you're saying there. I just wanted to come back to that word you said, vocation. Now, it's been my impression, as you well know, Father, I'm no longer maybe a baby Catholic, but I'm just old enough. I'm about 6 years old as a Catholic, so I'm just old enough to cause some real trouble in the church, I'm sure. But what about this word vocation? We so often use it in terms of, do you have a vocation? In other words, meaning, do you have a vocation to the priesthood or the religious life? But it's wider than that, isn't it? It includes the laity, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. You have, I mean, marriage is a vocation. Not a vacation, but a vocation, right?
Yes, right.
You know, and all of these other ways that the Holy Spirit is guiding us, you know. So again, not just in the big picture of your vocation as your state in life, but also in the daily living out of my Christian discipleship. You know, my fear is that people, Christians, go through life making all sorts of decisions without ever consulting God. You know, just assuming that God's going to be fine with whatever I decide, instead of thinking, maybe my loving Father in heaven has a plan. And it's not just the big picture plan, but maybe he has a plan for today.
Yeah.
You know, and it's the opposite of what Mother Teresa used to say. She was beautiful. She said, let God use you without consulting you.
Yeah,
you know,
nice.
Instead, we decide without consulting God. But she's got it right. Let God use you without consulting you. So sometimes you find the Holy Spirit nudging you. You're like, well, I don't want to do that. And you're supposed to say, okay, you know, but maybe if that's what looks like the Holy Spirit's pushing me to, okay, Lord, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to set aside my distaste, my initial rejection, and I'm not going to do it in a begrudging manner. I'm going to do it because everything of your will is what benefits me. It's not contrary to me. It's not imposed as something aggressive and negative upon me.
Mm-hmm.
It's the way that you're unfolding me to become the wonderful person you created me to be,
mm-hmm.
and through me to bring you the blessing of your merciful love to the world.
Just to elaborate or expound on that a little bit more too, Father, that, you know, maybe as Americans or Westerners, we currently have a mindset, I'm certainly no stranger to it, that, you know, that really living the happy life, living the life that I really want means that I have to eschew kind of duties or tasks or responsibilities that others would place upon me. But it sounds to me like you're saying much the opposite when it comes to especially the work of the Lord, the work of his church, that he is actually inviting me into something that's actually going to deepen my own personal happiness. Is that
right?
Is
right.
that what you're saying?
Right. Selfishness.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We all know, you know, in maybe 2 months, you know, A Christmas Carol by Dickens is going to be everywhere, and mm-hmm. we all know the story of Ebenezer Scrooge. Right. Selfishness is not the path to happiness.
Mm-hmm.
Self-gift is the path to happiness. Self-gift is what Christ reveals. God so loved the world that he gave us his only son. Jesus so loved us, he gave up his life for us. Self-gift, that's the image that we were made in, right? And that's what brings happiness. Even Charles Dickens shows us that, and we all love the Christmas Carol and go to see it every year, and we all get its message. No one stands up and says, I think Ebenezer Scrooge was better off before. You know?
Right.
No. No one does it. We know it. We know it, but we don't live it. We don't apply it in concrete ways to daily life, and we need to.
Right.
We need to, because self-gift is the path to happiness. Bill Gates once said, I wish I wasn't this rich.
Hmm.
Mother Teresa never, ever said, I wish I wasn't this poor.
Hmm.
You know, and that's what we, as Christians in America, we should shudder a little bit that we live in the most prosperous society ever to exist on the face of the planet.
Hmm.
That we are lulled into a sense of comfort and complacency, and that we've made our heaven on earth.
Hmm. Yeah.
You know, and all of that is a passing illusion.
When it's something that, as you said, Father, is where we find our happiness, where we find our flourishing, our blossoming as children of God, as human beings created in the image and likeness of God, is through a gift of ourself. And that's one of the things we talk about in the Called and Gifted Workshop. We say that these charisms, these gifts that are given to us, are actually always for use for others. It's not for us, it's for others and the salvation and the sanctification of the world.
Right. And it's you know, if you want to go back and look at the people that try it out in the world to get happiness, you know, it's not what you get out of life that makes you happy, it's what you put into life that gives you a sense of fulfillment. And even sociological studies have been done, you know, on that. And that's what we have to do, is say, how can I, made in the image and likeness of Christ, conform myself to who I truly am and give of myself in that way? And you look at Mother Teresa, 4'10", wrinkles on her wrinkles, crooked teeth, broken English, and, you know, the opposite of a supermodel.
Mm-hmm.
And yet people were attracted to her.
Mm-hmm.
She was attractive. Not in a superficial sense, but the beauty of the Holy Spirit working in her, the way she brought God's love to the world, was beautiful, compellingly so. There are 5,000 women who've left everything today to follow her, to follow Jesus with the example of Mother Teresa. You know, that's attractive, that's powerful. And the example of the saints living with the charisms of the Holy Spirit, you know, that actually is more powerful than the best written theology textbook in terms of converting the world.
Mm. Wow. We're speaking with Father Joseph Johnson, pastor of the Church of the Holy Family in St. Louis Park, about discerning our gifts and how we live out those gifts in our lives to give ourselves away, to make make ourselves into God's gift to others around us. And Father, just in the closing minute that we have here, I just, again, am reflecting on what you're saying about Mother Teresa being so attractive. And specifically, you know, she is famous for seeing in the face of the poorest of the poor Christ in distressing disguise, right? But it's interesting to me that it just occurred to me that as you were speaking there, that surely people saw in her, with all, again, with her supposedly, as the world sees it, unattractive features, they saw Christ, didn't they? In her. They saw Christ alive in her and encountered Christ in her person.
It was the beauty of her soul aflame with divine charity.
Amen.
That's what attracted them. And that's what each one of us can have. The Holy Spirit's dwelling within us. We are temples of the Holy Spirit. So choose a beautiful life, not an easy life. That's the key.
Absolutely. A beautiful life, not an easy life. Father, it's been so great to have you on the show this morning. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to talking again with you soon.
God bless you.